Good, good. I want you to take your Bibles and I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And we're going to be looking at verses 1 through 19 this morning. Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 19. Let me pull out my glasses here this morning. My new preaching Bible, the words are a little bit little for me, and so I have to have this. So, Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 through 19, it says, "After these things God tested Abraham and said to him, 'Abraham, here I am,' he answered. He said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about.' And so Abraham got up early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took with him two of his young men and his son Isaac. He split wood for a burnt offering and set out to go to the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. Then Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. The boy and I will go over there to worship, then we'll come back to you.' Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son Isaac. In his hand, he took the fire and the knife, and the two of them walked on together. Then Isaac spoke to his father Abraham and said, 'My father.' And he replied, 'Here I am, my son.' Isaac said, 'The fire and the wood are here, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?' Abraham answered, 'God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son.' Then the two of them walked on together. And when they arrived at the place that God had told him about, Abraham built the altar there and arranged the wood. He bound his son Isaac and placed him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' He replied, 'Here I am.' Then he said, 'Do not lay a hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, since you have not withheld your only son from me.' Abraham looked up and saw a ram caught in the thicket by its horns. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered it as a burnt offering in place of his son. And Abraham named the place, 'The Lord will provide.' So today it is said, 'It will be provided on the Lord's mountain.' Then the angel of the Lord called Abraham a second time from heaven and said, 'By myself I have sworn, this is the Lord's declaration. Because you have done this thing and have not withheld your only son, I will indeed bless you and make your offspring as numerous as the stars of the sky and the sand on the seashore. Your offspring will possess the city gates of their enemies, and all the nations of the earth will be blessed by your offspring, because you have obeyed my command.' Abraham went back to his young men, and they got up, and they went together to Beersheba, and Abraham settled in Beersheba." May the Lord add blessing to the reading of His Word this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this time that we can come and get into your word. Father, we ask you just to open up our hearts and open up our minds this morning, God, to what you have us to hear. God, we thank you and we love you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I was thinking about what to preach on Memorial Day, and I was praying about it, and the word faithfulness just kept coming to mind. See, all of those men and women that lost their lives for our country, they were faithful to our country. You can count on them. God wants us to be faithful. He doesn't want us to just love Him halfway. He wants us to put our whole heart into it. And so we come to the story of Abraham. The title of the message this morning is Faithfulness, You Can Count on Me. Now, how many of you have heard this story before? I grew up, I've heard this story before, lots of times. When we were growing up as little kids, Mom used to read us Bible stories. And this was one of the Bible stories that she read, you know. And it was just one of those things where you read it and you say, wow, that's an amazing thing. But there are some things in this story that we need to learn about faithfulness. See, today we're going to be looking at a man that was inducted into God's Hall of Fame. If you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, you'll see his name there. for being faithful to God. The hall of faith is what they call it. Because of his faithfulness, he was put there. See, a Savior ultimately came into this world because of his faithfulness. A nation that at one time history had been given up for dead, but it's in a miraculous existence today because of his faithfulness. His name is Abraham. You know, there was an incident that took place in his life that is both at first glance difficult to believe. It's in the Bible. Yet it gave him the opportunity to define once and for all what true faithfulness is. The story actually begins 25 years before this actual story. God called Abraham, you know, at the time his name was Abram, from his home country to begin his plan to redeem the world. He came to Abram and said, "Hey, I want you to pick up your family and I want you to move." He said, "Well, where are we going?" God says, "I'm not going to tell you that. You just need to go." Now that was a difficult thing. Not only you know you're leaving the country, and I love the place where they lived. They lived in Ur. Wouldn't you love to be from Ur? I just love it. All right, but they had to get up and leave, and God just told him to go, pick up your family and go. And see, this was a time where there was no police. The only way you had security was your family members, your tribe. And so Abram, God was telling Abraham, you need to get up and you need to leave. So he took part of his family and they went. And they went a little ways and then they stopped. And then some of his people said, okay, we're not going any further. So he lost even more family doing that. But he did what God told him to do. He obeys God and he leaves with the assurance of God's promise that he would make from him a great nation and he would bless him for eternity. And at that time, Abraham and Sarah had been married conservatively for probably about 50 years. Okay? And in the scriptures, it tells us in Genesis 11, verse 30, now Sarah was childless because she was not able to conceive. So, though at the time, Abraham had no idea how God would make him into a great nation, seeing that he didn't have any children, he trusted God. Now, 25 years later, we come to this story. You know, what happens next is kind of confusing and it's kind of hard to believe. It also, what makes the story such an inspiring lesson on what faithfulness really means and why faithfulness is so important to character, Abraham shows us what we will do if we are faithful. Three things that I want to share with you this morning on how to be faithful when you're tested. Number one, you need to go where you need to go. Think about this. The beginning of this story will kind of leave you dazed, confused, and sometimes maybe even angry. Genesis 22, 1 and 2 says, sometime later, God tested Abraham, and he said to Abram, "Here I am." He replied. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain. I will show you." What do y'all think was going through Abraham's mind? Think about that. It's his only son. It took him a long time to have Isaac. In fact, Sarah laughed about it whenever the angel of the Lord told her, "You're going to have a child." But think about that. This was his only son, and God was asking him to do this. Never before had God ever asked for a human sacrifice. This was something that the pagans did. This was not something that was according to the Jewish law. In fact, there were laws specifically against this. It was just something you did not do. Here he is. He told to take the son that he had promised him, the son that carried every hope he had, and to offer him up as a sacrifice. Here's the thing, before you jump to any conclusion, there's a key word here that you need to remember that governs this entire story. It says that Abraham, God tested him. How many of y'all like to take tests? Nobody? I can't believe that. Randy Beth loves to take tests. You just ask her. No, nobody likes to be tested, do they? Uh-uh. You know, growing up, you know, your mom and daddy, you get mad at you, and you're doing stuff, and they look at you and they say, "Don't you test me, boy." They don't want to be tested. Nobody wants to be tested. But here's the thing. I want to let you know this morning. Testing is a good thing. Think about this. Between 1963 and now, you've heard this message more than once. This is a test. For the next 60 seconds, this station will conduct a test of the emergency broadcast system. Y'all hear that? It starts off with the and you're like, oh man, they're messing up my radio stuff now. But it's a way for them to send out a message to everybody if it was a big emergency. All right, but they say it's only a test. Now, if they told you it wasn't a test, then you could get all anxious and all that. But most times they say it's a test. See, the first sentence of this story is the key to the entire story. God is testing Abraham. The Hebrew word translated tested has the idea of proving the quality of something or putting it through some kind of trial. You need to understand something about you and God and me and God. Number one, you're in the trusting business. God is in the testing business. And testing can be a very good thing. That's what we have to remember. Think about this. You wouldn't want to fly on an airplane that wasn't tested, would you? Anybody here a test pilot? No, want to give it in plane? No. Mm-mm. You wouldn't want to get on an airplane and you get in and you buckle in and you get ready to go on a trip and the pilot comes over the intercom system and welcomes everybody to the plane and says, hey, this is my first time flying this plane. I believe there'd be some people wanting to get off that plane, right? Think about this. Would you ever want to have surgery from a surgeon that had never been tested before? I don't think so. There was a story. There was a man who was about to have surgery, and the doctor said, you look kind of nervous. He said, I am nervous. This is my first surgery. And the doctor said, I know how you feel. It's my first surgery, too. You don't want that to happen. But we ask the question, why does God test us? See, God tests us for two primary reasons. One, testing is an opportunity for God to prove His faithfulness to us. Number two, testing is an opportunity for us to prove our faithfulness to God. Two-way street there. See, I told you that we're in the trusting business and that God is in the testing business. Faith is shown in faithfulness, and faith is grown through faithfulness. He not only gives us faith, but He grows our faith by testing our faith. When God tests you, He does a good job, because here's the thing, y'all. Probably no one has ever been tested like Abraham, I would dare say. See, the test comes in the form of three commands. Go, take, and sacrifice a burnt offering. Okay, now, the words hide how graphic this is, okay? When you offer a burnt sacrifice, this is how it was done. First had to kill the animal by cutting its throat. Then you had to dismember the animal and cut him into pieces. Then you had to offer the body parts as a sacrifice by fire. This is what God was asking Abraham to do to His only son. I believe a lot of us would have some issue with that. A lot of us would have been questioning things, but Scripture says nothing about that. It just says Abraham obeyed, and he went. But how strange is it that God would ask Abraham to sacrifice the very son He had given him and promised him, the son that was to be the forerunner of the Jewish nation. It is a son that Abraham loved. And think about this. This is the first time the word love is found in the Bible. It speaks of a love of a father for a son. Incidentally, the first time the word love is found in the New Testament is in Matthew 3:17, where it says, and a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. See, where the Heavenly Father affirms His love for His son, how does Abraham respond to this? Think about that. How does he respond? How would we respond? Like I said, I think we would have an issue. But I think it all depends on how faithful you are. Do we truly believe that the Lord will provide? Do we get kind of whiny sometimes? Yeah. Do we get frustrated? Yes, we do. But we have to remember the Lord will provide. That's what he said. It depends on how faithful you are. But here's how he responded. He said, Genesis 22:3 says, early the next morning, Abraham got up, loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. You know what he did? He kept working. How many of y'all have ever cut wood? Woo! That's work, isn't it? Yeah, I mean really cut wood. Johnny, have you ever cut wood before? You tried? Let me tell y'all something. I have cut wood before. Thank the Lord for log splitters. Okay? Amen, yeah. Because cutting by hand, you can go back there and you can ask that man. My dad is here this morning. Okay? Growing up, we had to get logs. There, they had a strike at work, and so the only way that we could provide for ourselves, we cut wood. So every afternoon when we came home, we cut logs, okay? And he would saw them up, we would bust them up, but like I said, thank the Lord for wood splitters. We would go in with neighbors after that and get logs because we needed wood for the fireplace and or for the insert or whatever we had. One of my main goals in life was to have central air and heating whenever I grew up. Amen. My dad has gas now too, so he don't cut wood either. That's hard work. But that's what he did. He went along and he did what he normally did. He went and he cut the wood. The Bible doesn't say that he complained. The Bible doesn't say that he asked the Lord, how am I supposed to do this? He kept working. That's what we need to do. When God is testing us, we need to keep working. We need to keep moving on. But he did that. There was no hesitation, no deliberation, no argument. Just a simple quote. I go where I need to go. The ultimate test of faithfulness is whenever you're willing to lay the thing that is the most dearest in your life at God's feet and put it in God's hands. Let me give y'all a pop quiz this morning here. I got a question for you. All right. Which do you love more, the blank that God has given to you or the God who has given you the blank? Now you can fill that blank in with any word you want there. You could put children, you could put money. You could put life or the word success. And then you have to ask, am I willing to go where I need to go no matter what I have to do? Are you willing to give everything up to serve God? That's a hard question. But it was no question for Abraham. Second thing this morning that we learn in the testimony is that you need to give what you need to give. See, the next sentence paints a picture that we need to get into our mind and contemplate. It says this in Genesis 22:6. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. So here we go. Abraham and Isaac are going up to Mount Moriah. You see, today we think of success as becoming wealthy or having a lot of power and influence. In Abraham's day, success was totally tied to family. The greatest hope a person could have that was that he or she would have a meaningful life and leave a valuable legacy behind to become a father or mother of many descendants and hopefully the sons and daughters who would go on to become the people of wealth and influence. Now, God is asking Abraham to sacrifice the only chance that he has. Because remember, she was barren. This was the son that was given to them. And now God is asking Abraham to give up what he loves the most. God reminded Abraham, this is your only son. This is the son that you love. And so Abraham has to face up to his dilemma. Does he love the son that God gave him more than the God that gave him the son? Is God really his one and only God? Because anything you love more or desire more or want more or crave more or serve more than God is what? It's an idol. That's what Scripture tells us. We're not to put anything before God. But it's an idol. See, this is a checkpoint of Abraham's faith in God and faithfulness of God. God asked him, Abram, is your love of me greater than your love for your son? Is your faith in me greater than your feelings for your son? It's a question that we all have to answer almost on a daily basis. Will I be faithful now to the God that is always faithful to me? See, the way that our faith and God's faithfulness operates is this. God will not reveal His faithfulness until we exercise our faith. He won't do it. Faith means going all in. It's all in or nothing. You can't be half faithful to God. You can't be faithful part of the time to God. You can't be faithful to God only when you feel like it or want to be or it doesn't cost you anything. It says in Genesis 22, 6 through 8, it says, Abraham took the wood from the burnt offering, placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father, Abraham, he said, yes, my son, the fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Abraham answered, God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering. And the two of them went on together. So he's already telling this. See, Isaac had seen many sacrifices before, and he realized that his dad forgot something. He forgot to bring the lamb. And he asked, where's the sacrifice? You gotta love Abraham's answer. God will provide. See, Abraham was teaching Isaac a very valuable lesson, that God's business is to keep His promises. Our business is to believe that He will keep them and to live accordingly. All we have to do is obey. That's it. We have to be faithful. See, Abraham was declaring his faith. He was expressing his faithfulness. And even though he didn't know it, he was prophesying about the future. See, this story is the perfect type and picture of what happened nearly 2,000 years later. Because God would provide the sacrificial lamb. But in this case, it would be His own son so our sins could be forgiven. See, as you go through life, you'll find that God will test you and He'll stretch your faith, and in the end, He will provide. He has always provided and He always will provide. If you're ever asked to give up your Isaac, just understand that God will provide. And here's the thing, what happens next proves that you can give what you need to give, and in fact, it will make you want to give even more. Number three. You need to get what you need to get. See, the story comes to a breathtaking, climatic, surprising conclusion. Genesis 22, 9 through 17 says, when they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on top of the altar, on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and he took his knife to slay his son. Abram looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by his horns, and he went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called that place, the Lord will provide. And to this day it is said, on the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. The angel of the Lord called to Abraham from heaven a second time and said, I swear by myself, declares the Lord, that because you have done this and have not withheld your son, your only son. See, Abraham's about to do the unthinkable, the unbelievable, when God stops him. What's the whole point of this story? This is a test. Now, Abraham understood God didn't want Isaac. He wanted Abraham. He didn't want Isaac. He wanted Abraham. He didn't want Abraham's son, but Abraham's surrender. He didn't want Abraham's family. He wanted Abraham's faith. He wanted him to demonstrate that in faithfulness. See, understand that God knew what was in Abraham's heart, but God wanted Abraham to know what was in his heart. See, God tested Abraham. Abraham passed the test, and that's how you get a testimony. A test is a simple opportunity to have a testimony so you can give a testimony. Did Abraham ever have a testimony? Yeah. His testimony is even more amazing because there's a secret to Abraham's faith and faithfulness. Listen to what he said to the men who had gone with him before he took Isaac up on the mountain. says this, on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance, and he said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abraham is absolutely convinced that even though he's going to offer Isaac as a sacrifice, that they're going to come back together. Why would he tell these guys, hey, we're going to come back, if he never believed that? See, at the time he didn't understand what he was being asked to do, but he totally trusted the one who was asking him to do it. And why did Abraham even think that they would even come back together, much less believe it? The answer is found in a verse of Scripture that looks back to what happened. Hebrews 11:17-19. It says, by faith Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so in the manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death. See, God had made Abraham a promise. He had promised that Isaac would be a part of a great line of people who would bless the world. And although now God was asking him to sacrifice Isaac, he knew God would never break his promise. So the only thing he could conclude was that God would raise Isaac from the dead. Did Abraham totally believe that God would do what was right? He was unwittingly prophesying an event that would indeed happen 2,000 years later. God would provide a sacrifice. It would be his own son, and he would die for our sins, but God would raise him from the dead. See, the proof of your faith is in God. In God is in your faithfulness to God. If God never fails to do what he say he will do, we never have to hesitate to be faithful to do what he tells us to do. So when you put this story in context, it's a beautiful story. It's a preview of coming attractions. It's a picture of God, of a God who makes the ultimate sacrifice, who puts his one and only beloved son on the altar of sacrifice for our sin so that we would never have to be sacrificed for our sin. It's all about Jesus. Think about this. By the way, Mount Moriah, it's the mountaintop where the city of Jerusalem and the temple stood. It's the place where Jesus Christ did die for the sins of the world, the place where the Lord did provide a Savior for the world. God had a plan. You can go back and look in the Bible. Jesus is in the Bible, all the way from Genesis all the way through to Revelations. He's there. You can see the plan that God had set up. See, now we come to what God always does for those who are faithful. Genesis 22:18 says, And through your offspring all nations on earth will be blessed because you have obeyed me. See, God swears an oath by himself. No higher oath could be given. No surer promise could be made because it is made by the God who always keeps his word, who keeps every word, and he keeps every promise. There's one thing you can know about the God from this story, that God will never give you a reason to distrust him, even though your reason may say you can't trust him. He's always there. He's always faithful to us. He is always there for us. Because Abraham remained faithful, he became not only the father of all the Jews, but of all the faithful who come to believe in the one who was sacrificed, Jesus Christ. Because of his faithfulness, he became the father of a family that will number more than the sands of the sea. See, your faithfulness will never exceed God's favor. If you honor God with your faithfulness, God will honor you more. If you bless God with your faithfulness, God will bless you more. I want to leave you with a few things to take home with you this morning about faithfulness. Five things this morning. Things of what do we do when we're tested. Number one, we need to expect tests from God. We just need to expect it. It's coming. See, in the school of faith, we must have occasional tests, or we never know where we are spiritually. Abraham had his share of tests right from the beginning. Right from the beginning. He passed the family test. He had to leave his loved ones and step out on faith to go to a new land. He passed, well, he had the famine test, but he failed that one because he doubted God and he went to a new land, went down to Egypt and got into all kinds of trouble down there. Basically told the Pharaoh that his wife was his sister, and then that was a big mess and all of that, and the curse came down, and it was a whole other different story, but he didn't pass that test. Guess what? We're not going to pass all the tests. We're going to be tested, but we're not going to pass all of them. There was a fellowship test. Abraham passed that when he gave Lot his first choice in using pasture land. There was the fight test when he defeated the kings that they were going up against. There was the fortune test that he passed when he said no to Sodom's wealth. But we need to expect tests from God. The second thing is we need to focus on promises, not explanations. Our faith is not really tested until God asks us to bear what seems unbearable and do what seems unreasonable and expect. When God sends a trial to us, our first response is what? Why? Why me, Lord? You ever said that before? Why? Why is this happening to me? Guess what? It's not just happening to you. It's everybody. We all go through stuff, don't we? That's why we need to encourage and we need to build one another up. Because we all go through these tests. We ask the question, why? Why me? Right away, we want God to give us a reason or an explanation. Of course, we know that God has reasons for sending tests. Perhaps to purify our faith or to perfect our character or even to protect us from sin. But we fail to see how these things apply to us. The fact that we ask our Father for explanation suggests that we may not know ourselves as we should or God as we should. We just need to rely on Him. We don't need to ask the question why. Number three, we need to depend on God's provision. See, on what could Abraham depend? He certainly could not depend on his feelings. You know that it had to be tearing him up inside. You know, there had to be terrible pain within and contemplating slaying his own son on the altar. Nor Abraham couldn't depend on other people. Sarah was at home and the two servants who accompanied him were back at the camp. You know, we thank God for friends and family members who can help carry our burdens, but there are some trials in life that we must face alone. It is only then that we can see what our Father can really do for us. See, Abraham could depend on the promise and the provision of the Lord. He had already experienced the resurrection power of God in his own body, so he knew that God could raise Isaac from the dead if that was his plan. Apparently, no resurrections had taken place before that time, so Abraham was exercising great faith in God. Number four, we need to seek to glorify Christ even in our trials and testings. In times of testing, it's easy to think about our needs and our own burdens. Instead, we should be focusing on bringing the glory to Jesus Christ. Sometimes we find ourselves asking, how can I get out of this? Instead, we need to say, what can I get out of this that will honor the Lord? Number five, we need to look forward to what God has for us. There's always an afterward to the test of life. Here's the thing. God never wastes suffering. Abraham received several blessings from God because of his obedient faith. He received a new approval from God. Because of God, Abraham described this whole difficult experience as worship. Because to him, this is what it was. He obeyed God's will. And was sought to please God's heart, and God commended him for it. It's worth it to go through trials if at the end the Father can say to us, well done, thy good and faithful servant. He received back a new son. Isaac and Abraham had been on the altar, been at the altar together, and Isaac was now a living sacrifice. God gave Isaac to Abraham, and Abraham gave Isaac back to God. See, third thing, God gave Abraham new assurances too. He heard these promises before, but now they took on a fresh new meaning. Abraham also learned a new name for God. As we have seen, that he called it the Lord Provide. In the Hebrew, he named it Jehovah Jireh. That means the Lord will be seen, or the Lord will provide. The Jewish temple was built there on Mount Moriah, and during our Lord's earthly ministry, he was seen there too, and he was the true Lamb of God, provided by God to die for the sins of the world. See, Abraham came away from this trial with a deeper love for the Lord. So, how are we to be faithful during these tests? Every day is a test. We need to be faithful to worship God privately and corporately. We need to be faithful to serve God in His church and outside His church. We need to be faithful in being a disciple, to grow in our faith by being in a small group of other Christians that need your encouragement and need you to be encouraged. We need to be faithful to God. Will you be faithful to be sent wherever God wants you to go? Would you say this to God? You can always count on me. Is it all about us? Or is it all about God? That's what we need to do. We need to be faithful. We need to take this story of Abraham and we need to look at it as a model of how we need to be faithful to God. Go out, do what God asks you to do, and you will be blessed. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, I thank you for this time that we have come together and been in your word. Father, I ask you right now as we come to a time of invitation that if there's anyone here today that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they would not leave this place without doing that. Lord, we love you and we thank you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. Brother Teddy is going to come and lead. I'm going to be down here if you need to come and talk to me. The altars will be open for prayer this morning.